Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Thank you for joining with us once again as we get into Colossians, looking how life all points back to Jesus. Today, we're actually going to be looking at the knowledge you need for the life that you long for. And before we get into the sermon, though, I want to remind you that we're going to be taking communion at the end of the sermon. So go ahead and get the elements, something to drink and something to represent the body of Christ, a cracker or bread. Also, I want to really emphasize this week that you join with us for a time of fasting and prayer. We're going to be gathering Wednesday through Friday, morning and evening, to pray together. And I think we live in a time when we just really need personally, as well as a church, and as a for the world around us, we need to gather in prayer. I encourage you to download the fasting guide and devotional, and to start the day before on Tuesday, rather than waiting to Wednesday, because there's an initial day of preparation. So download that and let's begin Tuesday to prepare our hearts, and then let's gather on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday to pray together, seek the Lord together, setting aside food and other distractions to focus on Him. But for now, we're going to focus on the Word, the knowledge you need for the life you long for. You know, universally, all of us, humanity, we long for certain things in life. We all long for respect, honor. We want to live lives that are productive and fruitful. We want to have close, intimate friends that we grow together with. We want to have favor with the right people. We want to have power in order to be able to accomplish the things that that need to be accomplished. And some of us just want to be happy. We want joy in our lives. We can just be happy. We'll be happy. And so all of these things are parts of the life that we long for. Today we're going to be looking how the scripture says there's certain knowledge that you need if you want to live the life that you long for. And so today's message really has 3 points. The first is, what is this knowledge that you need? The second is, why do you long for this life? And the third is, how does the gospel make it work? So our section, our passage of scripture for today is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. Let's read that together. Scripture says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit for every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for Your Word that teaches us how to live. God, for this knowledge that You've given so that we can live this life that we've longed for. We open up our hearts now to Your Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us and to guide us into truth today. Lord, may the words that we share be words of life, empowered and anointed by Your Holy Spirit. May they transform us to be more like You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, the knowledge you need for the life that you long for. We're going to start in verse 9 here and talk about this knowledge that we need. But Paul starts out this way, and he says, "So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you." And what Paul is doing here is he's starting off by giving them a context to understand what he's about to share with them. It's interesting because this whole passage that we read is really one long sentence of Paul just explaining his heart for the Colossians. He's telling them, "This is how I think about you. This is what I pray for you. This is what you need." And he wants to give them a context here to understand that what he's saying to them, this advice that he's giving with them through prayer, How many of you know that sometimes we love to preach through our prayers? That's what, kind of what Paul is doing. He's referring back to his prayers in order to preach to the Colossians and to tell them what they need to know. And first of all, he wants to give them a context so they can trust what he's about to say. And what he does, he's saying to them, look, everything that I'm about to share with you comes from a place of prayer. In other words, it's not just my opinion. It's not just my feelings on the day. It's not what other people have told me about you. But what I'm about to tell you comes from my time in prayer with God. And so what I'm sharing with you comes from what God told me about you. And you and I in life, this is the way that we need to live our lives, is bringing every person in our lives, every situation in our lives into the place of prayer so that we begin to live our lives from that place of prayer. In other words, we begin to view life and respond to life in alignment with the way that God views life and the way that He wants us to respond in life. That's what we're created for. That's the way that we were actually created to live. And we can see this principle actually right from the very beginning, from creation. We can see that God created us to respond to this world and to respond to life from His perspective. And so in creation, we see that actually we were created on the sixth day, the Bible says, and then on the seventh day, God rested. And so what does that tell us? It says that we're to live out of a place of rest, out of a place of rest with God. Our very first experience as humanity was to spend time in Sabbath with God. And God puts a big emphasis on Sabbath and says this is Sabbath. Learning how to Sabbath is very important to us living life the way that we are created to live life. And so we need to understand, what does it mean to live out of Sabbath or to live out of rest? Why is this so important that when God created us, He would start us off with our first collective human experience being Sabbath with God? And so to understand that, we have to understand, what does it mean to Sabbath? What did God intend for Sabbath to be? We find that in three scriptures that unpack what Sabbath means. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says this, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So what does Sabbath do? Sabbath, it reminds us of the fact that God is the creator. And so Sabbath is key to our creativity. As we rest and find our rest in God, as we Sabbath with the Lord, we become like Him. God created and then He rested. And He makes us rest so that we too can be creative. Deuteronomy chapter 5 verse 15 says this about Sabbath. "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So Sabbath is not only a reminder of God's creativity, but it's also a reminder of the freedom that comes only from God. If we want to really live freed lives, then we need to Sabbath. Sabbath is a key to living in freedom. The third issue about a principle that we find in Sabbath is found in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13. It says, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you should keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between you and me throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you." In other words, it's God that cleanses us and sets us apart for the purposes for which we're created. So if we want to live lives that are creative, we want to live lives that are free. We want to live lives that are set apart. Creativity, freedom, and cleansing all come through the Sabbath. Why? Because they're all found in God. And the Sabbath is meant to be a time set aside where we come to God and we focus on Him. And then we live lives out of that relationship. This is how Adam and Eve were to live life, out of their relationship with God. And so after God created them, the first thing He did was the Sabbath. So that their first created experience was to spend time with God. And that's why we encourage all of us every day to spend the first part of the day with God, hearing from Him, focused on Him, so that you live your day out of Sabbath or out of time with God. See, Sabbath is more than just rest. It's more than just sleeping and resting up. It's really about coming to God and resting with Him, spending time with Him. That's also why we encourage you every Sunday to be sure to gather together in these times, even if it's online, to come together and to learn from God together. In fact, Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3 says this, 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation, or in other words, a holy gathering. So our Sabbath day is meant to be a day when we gather together. That's why we come together on Sunday, because we want to begin our week, the first day of the week, by gathering together and focusing on God, just as Adam and Eve began their created life in the garden with the Father. We too begin our week, begin our day focused, spending time together with God, so that then our opinions, our responses to everyone come out of our relationship with God, come out of His perspective. And so this is what Paul is establishing here. He's saying, you Colossians, what I'm about to share with you, because he'd never met the Colossians. So he wasn't just sharing with them. He says, I'm not just sharing with you out of what other people have told me about you. I'm not sharing with you out of my experiences with you. I'm sharing with what I have to share with you comes from the place of prayer, and it's God's perspective on you. And that's the way we want to live, having our response to everyone be from God's perspective of that relationship. Secondly, he says this. He says, now this is what you need to know. My prayer to God has been asking, this is verse 9, the second half, says, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So what does that tell us? Here's what Paul is praying. Paul is kind of giving them insight into what I've been praying for you. He says, here's what I'm praying. I'm praying that you be filled with the knowledge of God's will. What does that mean? It means that we can have a little bit of God's will or a lot of God's will. And Paul's prayer is that they would be filled up with God's will. In other words, that in every aspect of their lives, they would be following and seeking and knowing God's will for their life. What does it also tell us? That if there's God's will that we can be filled up with, there are other things that we can also be filled up with. There's God's will and there's our will. There's God's will and there's the will of other people around us and their desires for our life. And what Paul is saying, you need to set aside everybody else's, even your own desires for your life, your own will for your life, and adopt God's will, so that in every area of your life, you are choosing God's will and you understand what God's will is. That means in every relationship, what is God's will for that relationship? In every circumstance, whether you're in school or in work, what is God's will for your workplace, for your career, for your class, for your school? What is God's will for the things that you're investing your time into? So Paul is saying here, you need to know God's will for your life. This is what's most important. In all of his times of prayer for the Colossians, he said that the most important thing is to understand God's will for your life. Why is that important? Because God created you for a certain purpose, and he's put things into your life for this purpose. And unless you align with God's purpose for your life, you'll never understand the fullness of what you're created for. And you'll never understand the beauty of all that God's put into your life. You'll never understand the beauty of all the circumstances that he brings into your life. You'll never understand the worth of all the relationships that he's brought into your life until you learn to see them through his eyes and through his will and his purpose, because that's the purpose for which you are created. It reminds me of, I often refer to this, when I was down in South America, in Chile. Our family, we had a family business down there. And I was traveling up to the north of the country, the north of Chile. And Chile is this long, narrow country that runs all along the Pacific Ocean. And our headquarters were in the center in Santiago, but we had a factory way up in the north in what is known as the Atacama Desert. the city of Iquique. And so I was flying up there, and I remember flying over this vast, barren wasteland, not a shred of green, no life at all that you could see. From looking out the airplane, it's just as far as you could see, dry wilderness. The Atacama is actually the driest desert in the world. And it's quite a contrast, because as you're flying there, we fly next to the Andes Mountains, and you see beautiful snow-capped mountains and lakes, and then you fly over this vast, just desert, brown, the Atacama. But every five or six years or so, they have what they call a desert bloom, where these torrential rains come and hit the Atacama. And then what happens is, it's unlike anything you've seen, just this huge bloom of flowers, bloom of life. All the whole desert comes alive. Why? Because all along there were these seeds that were in the desert, and there was these nutrients that were all there in the soil of that desert. But it was waiting for this rain, that outpouring of rain, to bring them all to life. And that's like our lives. Inside of each and every one of us, God's created us with a purpose. And so we have all of these elements in our life that were put there by God for a purpose. But they don't come into bloom until we align with His purposes, until we understand His will. And so when we open up our lives to God and bring Him and His perspective into our life, that suddenly our lives come alive. And we begin to understand the reason for which we were created. We begin to understand how we produce that which for which we were created. All the different gifts and skills and personality that was put inside of us comes into full bloom when we begin to align our lives with our created purpose. And so that's why Paul says, my prayer for you is, number one, that you would be filled with the knowledge of God's will for your life. Because it's God's will that unlocks the treasures that are already present there in our lives. And he says he wants to do this with spiritual wisdom and understanding. Wisdom is simply the ability to use the knowledge that we have. How do we apply this knowledge that we have? And he says spiritual wisdom, because there's the world's wisdom that would tell us one way of living, and then there's God's wisdom. And it's only as we understand God's wisdom and how God intends for us to use the knowledge that we've accumulated that we really find our lives begin to blossom. And then he says, with understanding, and this is really knowing God's heart in the matter and seeing people the way that He sees them. Because when we see ourselves and see others the way that He sees them, suddenly our lives are filled with love and filled with hope. And so we not only have this knowledge and not only apply it with wisdom, but we also do it with love. And we do it full of faith and hope. And there's this gentleness and kindness and this nurturing that comes alongside. It's the understanding God's heart. And then it's understanding the hearts and lives of others that really leads to this amazing, beautiful life, the way that God intended us to live. And it's really what the world needs, is people whose lives are aligned with God's will and really beginning to blossom and be fruitful in the way that God intended. This is what God wants for us. And this is really the life that we long for. We just didn't know it. But when we have these longings, they're all from God. We just need to find the source of meeting these longings through God. And that's what Paul now goes into in verses 10 and 11. He says this: so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. So what is Paul saying here? Number one, he's saying, I want you to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. What does that refer to? It refers to walking with the respect that we all long for. And the respect we long for needs to be respect of the people whose opinion really matters. But you can be respected by all the wrong people, honored by all the wrong people for all the wrong reasons, and your life is going to be a mess. But when we walk with the respect and the honor of the people who really matter, and what Paul is saying here is, what really matters is having God's respect and His honor, walking in a way, living your life in a way that engenders God's respect and honor. Because when you live that way, you're going to find that life comes together. Fully pleasing to Him. That means just connected. connected with God and finding favor with the right people in life. We so often long for to have the favor of the right people. And Paul is saying, his prayer is that you're going to walk fully pleasing to God, because that's really the one connection that you need to lead, that leads to favor with all other connections, all other relationships. Bearing fruit in every good work, that's just being productive in life. Paul says, when you have the knowledge of God's will, you're going to be productive in life. You're going to bear fruit, and you're going to produce the right things in life. But everything that you do is going to bear fruit. The next thing he says is that when you know God's will for your life and you walk in that, you're going to get to know God better. You're going to keep growing in intimacy with him. And that's key. We all long for deep, meaningful relationships. But it's a deep, meaningful relationship with God that leads to deep, meaningful relationships with others. Jesus said it this way, that you would love God, love others the way that I've loved you. As we grow and begin to understand the love of God for us, then we really learn how to have really loving relationships with others. And then he goes on to say, being strengthened with all power. We all long for power, the ability and authority to do things that really matter. And God's saying here, you're going to have all the power you need for life. And then he on top of that, he says, not only that, you're going to have endurance. And that's the ability to survive whatever life throws at you. Endurance refers to circumstances around us that we can't necessarily change, but we can endure them. Whatever life throws at us, you're going to make it. You're going to survive. You're going to endure. He also says you're going to have patience. And patience has to do with people and our relationships with them. Because how many of you know that some people just require a lot of patience to not only to put up with them, but really to walk with them until they begin to change, or until that relationship grows into a place of being a fruitful relationship. We just need patience. Love begins with a place of patience, because all of us need time to grow up, and all of our relationships need time to mature. And so God says, Paul is saying, when you understand God's will, it's going to give you patience, because that purpose that comes from God, it's a purpose that gives you endurance. It's a purpose that gives you patience. And lastly, he says, you're going to have all this with joy. You're going to have endurance. You're going to have patience. You're going to walk with joy. And some people say, well, if I could just be happy, all I want to do is be happy in life. God's saying, I have more than just happiness. I have a deep joy that will abide as you endure and as you have patience. So Paul is saying, everything that you've longed for in life, you're going to find by understanding God's will for your life. And all of this, he goes on now in verses 12 through 14, he says, all of this is made possible for you through the gospel, through what Jesus has done for you. This is how, this is the key that unlocks, this is the ultimate life hack to get the knowledge that you need for the life that you long for. Verse 12, he says, giving thanks to the Father. Because everything, we need to understand that all that we need really is a gift from God. It's a gift from Father God, and it's given to us through Jesus Christ. When we begin to understand it, it's not something that we earn. It's not something that we strive and work for. But when we begin to understand that life flows to us, the life we were intended to live flows to us through the gift of the Father, then we begin to move out of the place of striving and burning out to a place of rest in God. Not only that, but God says this, God, through Christ, has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So in other words, God's the one who's qualified you for the life that you long for. You don't have to qualify yourself. You don't have to look to the opinions of others to know whether or not you're living the life that you're supposed to live. God says he's qualified you. And he says, it's an inheritance. In other words, we don't work for an inheritance. An inheritance is something that's freely given to us, and generally given to you by your parents. And so God is our Father. When we come into his family, he says, when you come into my family, you automatically have this inheritance that's given to you along with the other saints. And he says it's an inheritance that takes you out of the domain of darkness. If you've lived with confusion, if you've lived with dark places in your soul of depression and anger and frustration, God says, I'm calling you out of the kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light where there's freedom, where there's understanding, where there's knowledge, where there's joy. All the things that we compare with light. It takes us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And how does he do that? He says, we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. In other words, we started out life owned by sin. And so we were subject to whatever sin and whatever evil would want to do with us because of this sin nature in our lives. But God says, now I've bought you from the place. Now you're owned by me. And so all the goodness that I have intended for you. When we begin to have a knowledge of God's will, then we understand how we've been redeemed and how we've been brought back to God and this forgiveness of sin. Because when we live with under the knowledge of sin, when we live under the shame and the guilt of sin, it brings insecurity into our lives. It brings this weight and pressure in our lives. And so we live our lives so often under the weight of sin that we've gotten used to it. We've gotten used to this heavy gravity of sin that weighs us down, living under shame. And we just begin to ignore the shame and guilt that sin brings into our lives because we're trapped in it. And it's not until we experience the forgiveness of sins and understand that God no longer looks at us based on our sins, but he looks on us based on the righteousness of Christ and the free gift of salvation. It transforms everything in our lives. All of a sudden, that weight rolls away and we begin to live the life that we longed for. We begin to live a life that comes from a place of rest in him. And all of a sudden, we begin to experience all the blessings that come through Christ. You see, the gospel, Jesus Christ, the work of the cross, is what brings us and allows us to live with a knowledge of God's purpose and his will for our lives. It's the key that unlocks the life that we've longed for. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says it this way, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." In other words, as you spend time with God, either through reading his word and praying every morning or through Sabbath days, Sundays, when we gather together and worship together and hear the word, or times of fellowship in small group, the more that we understand God and his will for our lives, the more that we come into this relationship with Jesus Christ, the more that we're set free to receive every spiritual blessing. And every spiritual blessing, these are the things that meet the needs that the things that we long for in life. The reason why we as humanity long for these things in life is because we're created to receive these gifts or to live under these blessings. But sin has separated us from the blessing of God in our lives. And so we've sought to fill these longings through our own efforts and our own strength in our own ways, or the ways that the world around us tells us that we should fill them. And so often those ways leave us empty. We're happy for a moment. We trade in deep intimacy for false surface relationships. We'll have sex instead of love. We'll have riches instead of true wealth. And those things leave us empty. But God says, all the things that you truly long for, every spiritual blessing you can find through Christ. And that's why it all begins and ends with him. That's why God created us to spend our first moments together always with him. Because then learning from him and his having his perspective, the knowledge of his will for our life, then that begins to align the rest of all of our lives. It tells us how to conduct the rest of our lives and every relationship in a way that's going to meet the deepest longings of our soul and produce fruit and joy in our lives. That's why Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 29. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What is he saying? Jesus is saying, I'm your Sabbath. I'm your rest. It's not in just the absence of activity that we find rest and Sabbath, but it's in relationship with me. That's where our Sabbath is. That's why it's so important that we spend time in God's word, spend time in prayer, spend time in fellowship with other believers, because this is where our Sabbath rest is. And this is where we get the knowledge of His will that then leads to fruitfulness and blessing in every other aspect of our lives. The knowledge we need to live the life that we long for is the knowledge of God and His will. And that comes through the cross. It comes through the life provided to us, the gospel, the good news. It comes to us through the cross of Jesus Christ. When we ask God to forgive us of our sins, to redeem us, and to come and live inside of us, that then opens up. See, the life we long for is actually a gift from God. It's not something that we create for ourselves, but it's something that comes as a gift from God through the knowledge of Him. And that's why only through the Sabbath can we find true creativity. Only through the Sabbath can we find true freedom. And only through the Sabbath can we find true rest and through true cleansing and sanctification to the life that we were created to live. And so I'd like to just pray for you before we go into a time of communion. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the cross, the work of the cross, the work of Jesus. And today, Lord God, we come, we bring our sins, our sin nature. We bring our selfishness, we bring our own efforts, and we bring them to the cross. And we say, Lord Jesus, we want to exchange our dead religion, our own futile efforts, our own desires, our own will. We want to exchange it for yours. Father, we give ourselves to you, and we say, Lord, come, forgive us of our sins through your work on the cross. Come and be the Lord of our lives. Let your will rule and reign in our lives. God, give us ears to hear what you're saying to us. And give us hearts to follow after you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And now if you really want to have a desire to follow Christ, and you're one who really is a son or daughter of God, then we invite you to come and we're going to partake of communion together. All of that communion is it's a time when we remember what Jesus has done for us. It's a time when we remember the gospel and apply it to our lives. And so in communion, we take the bread. And Jesus said, this bread is my body, broken for you. And we're to take it and eat it in remembrance of Him. And so in a sense, this is a Sabbath moment when we're coming to focus on Jesus and what He's done for us. So, Jesus, we're so thankful for your body broken for us that we could be made whole. We receive that life. We say, Jesus, come, be the Lord of our lives, live inside of us. We exchange our life for yours, that your broken body could minister healing to our broken lives. And Father, my prayer is that as we partake of communion together, you would minister healing through the body of Christ. Healing to broken emotions, healing to broken dreams, healing to broken relationships, healing to physical illness. In Jesus' name, bless the bread now. Let's partake together. The scripture goes on to say that in the same way Jesus took the cup and he blessed it and said, drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me, because this cup is the new covenant in his blood. And this is Jesus' promise to us, that through the gospel, through the work of the cross, we can know the will of God. We can walk in relationship with Him. We can come back into Sabbath rest, Sabbath relationship with the Father, to really know Him, know His will for our lives. That's God's promise, that we will all, the Bible says, know Him personally and know His will for our lives because of the shed blood of Jesus. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that renews us, that not only covers our sins, but gives us a new heart, a heart that knows you, a heart that wants to pursue you, that God, through the blood of Jesus, we can now not only know you, but also know your will for our lives and to live the life that we long for, the life that you intended. Thank you for your shed blood. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's all partake together. Well, it's been a pleasure. So exciting just to be able to share these truths with you. I pray that they would make a difference in your life. And to help with that, we have three discussion questions that you can use for reflection as well as for discussion in your small groups. The first one is, what are the things that matter most in life? What are the things that matter most in life? And you can talk about that or reflect on that, both just in general for humanity, but also personally, for you personally. What are the things that matter most in life? Second question, how do you pray and what do you pray for? So how do you pray and what are you praying for? Do your prayers align with God's prayers and what God desires you to pray for? How do they measure up to the way that Paul prayed for the Colossians? And you might think about maybe how you can improve your prayer life. The third question is, if Sabbath is about centering our lives in God and living out our relationship with Him, how well do you Sabbath? And how could you make your life more God-centered? So how well do you Sabbath? And how could you make your life more God-centered? Well, I hope this word helps you. I pray that God's word will bring life to you and that you will, through the cross of Christ and the knowledge of God's will for your life, begin to live the life that you long for. The Lord bless you. Have a great week walking with God, and we'll see you again next week.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.